they both look to God, you know, what reward do you have? They're not even the tax collectors, can you say? And then I had a few verses to pick out. Don't think that I'm going to abolish the law of the prophets. I'm not going to abolish them to fulfill. For truly I tell you, if a letter doesn't pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until it's all accomplished. And that law will only be accomplished when we love God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. Accomplished. Did Jesus accomplish that? You bet he did. His whole life. So here we are. Living in the end time. Enemies in front of us, enemies behind us. And you have a church that goes exactly against what the other church says you should do. The church of the beast says you can love people up to a point. You can be Christ-like if you want to. And then when it comes time to love your enemies, you can sit and you can talk about it being metaphorical. And we can be let off the hook. You really don't have to love your enemies. And begin to use fear, and begin to use force, and begin to use the tools of the enemy. But then we have this church, we have this remnant. There is people who insist on loving, who insist on being loved, who insist on being the love of people who do not deserve love. Who insists on giving grace and love when it is not deserved, when it is not earned. And giving it to people who may literally take it and do what's harm with it. Shed our blood, persecute us, and throw us into prison. And yet you cannot keep these people of the Lamb from loving. It's ironic that we looked at last week. I want to know what those people are. Who those people are? are angels that are standing and holding back the winds. At once, it's terrifying to think that what we see in the world today is actually not even close to the full amount of sin on this planet. But yet, you and I still live in some sort of net, if you will, of mercy. That no matter what happens to God's people, there is still mercy that comes. These four angels and holding back these four winds just illustrates that a little further. Two groups of people benefit from this mercy. First one is the trees. Don't blow against the trees. Who are the trees? Well, in Revelation 9:4, he tells us exactly who the trees are. This is a little later. They were told not to damage the grass of the earth or green growth or any tree, but only the people who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. So the trees must be the people who do have the seal of God on their forehead. So who are the trees? God's people are the trees. The angels are holding back the wind. Mercy benefits God's people on the planet at that time. That makes sense, doesn't it? We're a people of God. We expect the mercy of God to benefit us, do we not? We do. But we're also told that it's the wind and the sea that are affected. What is the wind and the sea? Well, those beasts that I keep telling you about are the church that people will join to worship that beast. One arose out of the what? Out of the sea. Another one arose out of the land. Land and sea, when they're put together, are not a good thing, all the way through Revelation 13. So if the trees represent God's people, then they benefit from God's mercy. Well, guess what? God's enemies also benefit from that mercy. Nobody admits that. Because we're not there yet. important background. That seal was a seal of protection for the people living in Jerusalem at that time. It was a seal of protection. Now, the normal intention in the New Testament of the sealing is by the Holy Spirit. You can be sealed by the Spirit, where you just read it to us. In Him also, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him. You were marked with the seal of the promise. What? wasn't anything more than the 12 tribes themselves. So it could be a literal number, but it also could be something representing a perfected, a perfected number in totality, but all of God's people. See, because in the New Testament, 12 by 12 reminds us of the New Jerusalem. It sits on 12 foundations, and the foundations of the tribes of Israel, plus two, plus the 12 apostles. Jesus chose 12 apostles, not by accident. He chose 12 apostles to represent the 12 tribes. In other words, he wanted to win everybody who's supposed to be in all of the new spiritual Israel. Nobody comes outside that. There is no 13th tribe. And there wasn't a 13th disciple. So Israel was the church. They used it as a totality back in John's day when he wrote, "Today to serve God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to what? To the 12 tribes in the church. Greetings. Is James writing to Jews? Technically, yes. But he's writing to the church. So he's writing to the Jews who become what? And he still refers to them as the 12 what? As the 12 tribes. Jesus said that if you have to do the renewal of all things when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you will follow me, will sit on 12 thrones, judging me, 12 tribes of Israel. Is he only talking about Israel? Is he only talking about Israel up until then? Well, this is an entire judgment. He's talking about everybody who's supposed to belong. It's a totality, if you will. In fact, it's more than a totality. 12 would be a totality. All he has to do is take 12, and that would be a totality of all Israel. But here he's saying 12 times 12 times 1,000. What is the idea he's trying to get across to you? That everybody who belongs will be there. It's a complete number. It's a whole number. It's like 7. There isn't anything beyond 7. It's whole. So real quick, why can't Christians didn't want the things to be hurt,